who's looking in my window.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I'd like to welcome all of you all over the world. This is the Empowering Hour. I can promise you, within the next 55 minutes, we will share more original information on health and healing, anti-aging, disease prevention, than any other place you're going to find. We've been doing it longer than anyone else. In fact, we're celebrating going into our 41st year on our sister station, WBAI, in New York City. And that makes it the longest-running, non-commercial, daily radio program ever. So today, we're going to talk about first, answering a few of your questions from Facebook. Lots of people from Facebook are coming over each day, but compared to how many download the show in the next 24 hours, tiny amount. It's following what we normally do. Most people do not listen to this program live. They download it. And I'm going to address some of their questions. And then we're going to take a look at a longer part of the program today devoted to health issues. For example, we're going to talk about the myth of the high cholesterol that you have being a major contributor to heart disease or the primary predictor of a heart attack or stroke is simply not true. Who says that? A whole group of board-certified cardiologists who are finally standing up, finding their voice, and speaking out in a documentary presented by a board-certified cardiologist and a professor of cardiology. And these are people from some of the most respected institutions in the United States, including Harvard Medical School. We're also going then to hear from a young girl. She's very young. And then she was silenced for 25 years. Now she's speaking again on our responsibility to the environment. And she was speaking, we found this clip, where she was speaking in front of the United Nations 25 years ago. And it's very prescient because it shows what we should be focusing on and what we missed and what we can do today. Then for the women in the audience, a lot of you are very concerned about cancer, and rightly so, because we have been told that outside of stopping smoking and don't get excessive sunlight, there's really nothing more you can do about preventing cancer. That's a lie. There's everything you can do. But what if I told you that there is a therapy originally created back in the 1920s that had a way of beaming a light, vibrating a light at a frequency onto a cancer cell that could shatter it. And that, lo and behold, some scientist and a professor of music have just discovered this. They're thinking it's the first time, it's new, it's innovative. There was someone who was suggesting this a couple years ago. But we're not talking about 5 years ago. We're talking about almost 100 years ago this was developed. I'll give you a little bit of background on that because I was actually involved in that. I was at the beginning of my career. The doctor who invented it was at the end of his. His nurse I met, and she showed me all these results. I'll talk a little bit about that and how we've had successful cancer therapies that were natural, non-toxic, done by very qualified people, but the cancer establishment killed it. How do I know? Because one of the highest-ranking members of the cancer establishment sat down in my apartment. I'll tell you his name and his son's name, because it was through his son, a highly respected journalist. In fact, the bureau chief for Newsweek of a major news service. And it was his father that he introduced me to who told me all this. And then I researched and found it was true and did a whole series of articles. So you're going to get information today about a old, newly discovered, newly proven therapy that without surgery, without radiation, without chemotherapy, without any traditional treatment at all, can kill your cancer cells and leave every single other cell, healthy cell, alone in your body. If you don't know this, it's not a surprise, because this will be one of the best kept secrets, because there's no way in the world that the hundreds of billions of dollars a year from chemotherapy and radiation that the corporations, the politicians they can control through lobbyists, the news media they can control, the advertising they can control, there's no way they're going to allow this information out. So this may be the only time you're going to hear it. So you want to pay attention. I'm going to play the whole clip. And then our guest in the second part of our program is Dr. Glenn Berry, and we're going to talk about how threatened our ecological systems are and when the collapse of our planet biosphere will happen, and the hubris of sole reliance upon technological solutions like Al Gore and Leonardo DiCaprio, and the people think, oh yeah, we're for the environment, and there are solutions, but they're green solutions. No, there are other solutions that are far more viable, and that can mitigate climate change acceleration. So he's Dr. Glenn Berry is internationally recognized as a political ecologist, a data scientist, and president and founder of the Ecological Internet, a site that provides real news about climate change and the latest issues and commentaries about ecological and fragile environments. So you see, we have a lot to share. All good. Let's begin. From our Facebook, one of the people was asking, made a comment about Glenn Campbell, and that he has end-stage Alzheimer's, and he's at a state, true or not, I don't know, I haven't verified it, that he doesn't recognize anyone from his former life and can't even talk. And isn't there anything that could be done? I was aware of Glenn Campbell's predicament about 5 years ago, and I wrote to him, and I wrote to his office suggesting that there were natural and non-toxic approaches that may be able to mitigate his condition, and I didn't ask him to call me back. I asked him to call two separate people who I had helped reverse their end-stage Alzheimer's so they could hear from people and see what progress they had made and what the protocols were. And in point of fact, one of those people has spoken with several thousand people since the time that I'd helped reverse her Alzheimer's. In any case, there were never any phone calls. And I've learned, I'll put that information out. I'll certainly make people aware that there are other approaches. For example, we let Angelina Jolie know. I sent her articles. I sent her two documentaries. And suggesting that before she have a radical mastectomy, that she at least examine the idea that the genes were, A, imperfect. I provided all the peer-reviewed scientific literature on how imperfect that gene predictive notion was. That, oh, if you have this gene, then you're going to get breast cancer and you're going to die. So why not take completely normal, healthy, vibrant breasts and mutilate them? I consider this an assault against women, and I sent this out, this work out. I've spoken about this before groups of women. In fact, I put a big chapter about this in my newest book on women, which is 1,100 pages, as well as my older book, For Women Only, that I did with the great feminist Barbara Seaman. I just believe that women have not been given all the tools and information to empower them to realize how manipulated they are when it comes to the intricacies of science and how medicine uses that against them, like synthetic hormone replacement therapy that 10 million women every day are taking to prevent heart attack and turn off hot flashes and remineralize the bone. A, it does not prevent heart attacks. It increases heart attacks. So listen carefully, please. If you know any woman who's taking synthetic hormone replacement therapy, encourage her to get off of it. There are plenty of people like Dr. Cheryl Selman, an outstanding women educator and advocate, feminist, who will explain that Dr. Northrup, her books explain. So there's no shortage of good quality material from medical doctors, women, who will tell you this stuff is deadly. Here's what it does. And this is what the scientific literature proves. Synthetic hormone replacement therapy for women, 10 million are taking it each day, increases your risk of a stroke, heart attack, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia, even early life dementia, meaning you're in your 40s. So what, Gary, then can you do? Well, I'm going to refer you to an article that's on my website that is out right now for peer review publication. And it was an actual clinical study. Just so you know, some do, some don't. I've conducted nearly 40 clinical studies. And these studies are not medical, though they were medically supervised. And what I do is I take a group of people for a period of time, and I see what can change within that person's body if they radically, there's the key, radically change their diet, exercise, how they deal with stress, and life-affirming principles. And everything actually rests upon the life-affirming principles. Everything else comes off that. And thus far, in the 40 years I've been doing these and presenting them at scientific conferences where I'm invited 6,000, 8,000, 2,000, 5,000 scientists. So it's not that the scientific community has been unaware of this. We have been able to reverse every single condition. I mean, every condition that I've tested thus far, including the ones that medicine has no answer for, like autism, reversed it, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, etc. And we document it. We've filmed it. We film everyone at the first day. We film in the last day. We keep methodical records. They have to keep journals. We have all the blood workups. So it's not as if this is hocus pocus. And one of the workshops we did was on menopause. There were about 500 women who started. We met every week for a year. And within about 3 weeks, the people who believed they couldn't stick with the protocol dropped out. So we were left with about 287 women who actually completed it. Now, the 287 women who completed it, we found that there was a 92% average reduction in things like this. Complete elimination of hot flashes, night sweats, thinning of the hair, thinning of the eyebrows, losing weight that they had not been able to because of underactive thyroid, rebalancing the thyroid. Something you never hear anyone talk about, but we should, and that is a lot of women during and after menopause cannot have normal intimate relations with their partner because the mucous membranes in their vagina dry out. And they will tell you that it's they can get infections, it bleeds, it's painful, and so they just stop and think that's it for the rest of your life. We've reversed that, where women can have the normal secretions that help them regain their libido and their capacity to have a healthy sex life with their partner years after menopause. Also, the quality of the skin improves. Blood chemistry changes and rebalances. Energy increases. Mitochondria are new. So just so you know, those are all through natural talk techniques. And I'm not going to rip off a whole bunch of names right now, because unless you do it in the proper context, unless you pull it all together, just taking Vioxx or Squall Vine or Passion Flower or Dawn Choir or Foti, that won't make the difference. Remember, it's too simple to just say, is that one nutrient all I need if I don't do anything else? And the answer is no. You have to put it all together. But when they did, they were completely changed. And here's the irony. At least half the women there who had gray hair, their hair returned to normal thickness and normal color. All right? So just want to let you know that that is possible. So when it comes to something like advanced Alzheimer's, can we help a person? Yes. But you can't force that. If the person doesn't want to do it, but a family member does, that's between the family member and them. All we can do, all I can do, is I can be there to help facilitate healthy change and provide whatever insight I have to people who are 100% willing to make changes in their own life. One of the things we did not talk about, and we should, is what will be one of many obstacles to being able to live a happy and healthy life. and that would be resistance. So let's just write that down. And today, if you would please, ask yourself, how many times in life did you have an opportunity for something, either to eliminate something bad, a relationship, a workplace environment, bad eating habits, or something really good where an opportunity to make change was up there and you chose not to engage it? Why? You resisted that. Why did you resist? If the benefit was so good, why did you stay attached to something that wasn't? I'd like for you to give me your answers. Instead of me giving you my thoughts, I'd like for you to email them to our station. And I will read your answers on the air. You don't even have to put your name on, because I'm willing to bet that many people in this audience have very good ideas about how good people do bad things and smart people do stupid things, and how we frequently do things against our own best interest. So I'm going to have my engineer put up here. It is right now, so please take this down. prnstudio@gmail.com. Again, prnstudio@gmail.com. I'd like to hear your answers. I'll share them with the audience, and I'll share mine after that. I believe that we have to be looking at problems collectively, solutions collectively. So let's see where that goes. Another question that was asked is, I hear that one of the biggest problems we have with our health today is we don't have strong immune systems. Yeah, that's an understatement. Understand that the only reason you're alive today is your immune system. That's the only reason. You can't live without an immune system. You will die the simplest infection, simple bacterial, viral, parasitic infections, and you're gone. That's why when people get chemotherapy, they frequently don't die of the cancer. They die of diarrhea. They die of a congestion, of flu-like conditions that their body normally could handle, can't when your immune system is knocked out by the chemotherapy. So if there's one thing we can do that will make a difference, what might it be? Well, the most important single thing you can do, more important than diet, exercise, and stress management, which are important, would be to bring happiness into your life by living an authentic life, even if you're starting for the first time, because that is the foundation of all health. You can't be healthy if you're not happy. That's why in everything I do, I place so much emphasis upon the power of our beliefs. You show me someone who is genuinely happy, and I'll show you someone that makes it a lot easier to get them healthy. You show me someone who is unhappy, depressed, anxious, insecure, uncertain, rageful, pessimistic, bitter, acrimonious, judgmental. Get me a group of happy people and let's see how many solutions we can come up with. Get me a lot of self-righteous, angry, politicalized, demonizing people, and I'll show you how nothing you're going to do is going to work. Well, do you think it's any separate with your health? You're not going to care about your health because you're going to think my attitude is more important than eating a hot dog, a hamburger, a french fry, drinking alcohol, or not dealing with stress. As long as I'm politically right, ideologically right, you know, I walk up and down the street, my little banner over my head, hating everyone who doesn't believe in me, I'm still okay. Fool, you're not right. And if cancer's got to be your wake-up call, heart attack or dementia, it's waiting for you, and sooner or later, it'll come knocking on your door. And we don't like to look at that. Man, does that scare us. Because we've lived our whole life with the certainty our belief system is right. Well, what if your belief systems are wrong? What if your true belief has just led you to be in another cult-like state, denying any other virtue, any other value, any other person, any other culture, ethnicity, any other age, any other gender? You reject it all because of the certainty of yourself. Now you get the idea of why I spend so much of my time helping people see what their authentic life should be and helping them take a step that they have to become aware of, because when you change your perception, you literally change your reality. You change your DNA. So if Angelina Jolie were interested in changing her reality, her perception, she would have her breast today. She rejected it Glenn Campbell's people rejected it, and a lot of other celebrities have rejected it. You have no idea how many times someone in my office come over and say, Gary, I just heard this person was sick. Can I send them a protocol? Don't send them a protocol. Send them, because they won't know how to apply it. Send them information that we're happy to help them. I'll help them. And you never get the call back. So you got to respect other people's choices, even if those choices are not to their well-being. Now, that said, another person said, I was told that I should be eating some mushrooms, but I'm not sure why. Well, here's a good group of foods that we should be eating on a regular basis. I'm talking about at least every other day, a serving, which is a cup of mushrooms. Now, which would be the mushrooms I would eat and do? In fact, just last night, I do grazing. I don't really have big meals ever. And people are sometimes surprised, my friends, at how little I actually eat when we go out together. But throughout the day, you have food. Like right after this program, I'll have a green apple juice, organic green apples, with 2 ounces of ginger and 2 ounces of lemon in that green apple juice. And that's good to go the whole afternoon. A little later in the afternoon, because I work late, I'll have another snack. I might have seaweed. Like last night, I had 4 different types of seaweed, and I soak it and then rinse it, soak it, rinse it, and then cook it gently for about 5 minutes, low flame, turn it off, and then saute some mushrooms and mix the two together with different seasonings. That's a wonderful way of helping your immune system because it's all good. And calcium. I'm getting more calcium that's usable because cow's milk calcium is rarely usable. That's why the 5 nations in the world that consume the most dairy have the highest levels of osteoporosis. And there was a Dr. Peter Algo, very nice man, who was one of our physicians at the Tri-State Healing Center. And he had a machine where you could actually check your finger, and he would check if your bones are remineralizing. And time, after putting people on a protocol, after 3 months, their minerals were going into their bones, and their whole body was remineralizing. No more osteoporosis. So it's simple. Seaweed is right up there. Sesame seeds and tahini are up there. Kale, Swiss chard, dandelion greens, collard greens, all of those are good sources. But here are the mushrooms I'm going to suggest that you eat on a regular basis. And if you can't buy them, then take a capsule of them because they can help your immune system. In fact, these mushrooms are known with thousands upon thousands of studies in the peer-reviewed literature out of China, out of Japan, out of Cambodia, out of Thailand, out of India to help with everything from HIV to cancers to immune system. They're phenomenal for your immune system. Just remember this. You're able to be healthy because you're eating, drinking, and thinking the right thoughts. You're exercising. All of that combines to help the two parts of your immune system stay vital. Vital means is vitalism. Vitalism means no matter what I'm faced with each day, my body is able to meet the challenge because of my strength, my immune system strength, not just your physical strength. You could have muscles bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger's and your immune system collapse and end up dying. So write these down, please. Reishi, reishi mushroom, R-E-I-S-H-I, R-E-I-S-H-I. Now, the reishi mushroom is at the top of the list. Then under that is maitake, M-A-I-T-A-K-E, M-A-I-T-A-K-E. Under that would become shiitake, S-H-I-T-A-K-E, S-H-I-T-A-K-E. And then finally, the agaricus, A-G-A-R-I-C-U-S. Again, A-G-A-R-I-C-U-S. And those are the best. When you're having a combination of those, great if you could have all of them, watch your immune system. And boys, there's nothing more important than waking up in the morning and know that everything you're going to drink, eat, think, and do is going to keep you strong. How do you think when I'm sitting across from sick people? For years, people would come in with full-blown AIDS. I'm talking about Kaposi sarcoma and pneumocystis crini pneumonia and coughing up. And one guy, when he went to open his mouth, he had, it looked like cotton balls stuffed all over his mouth. That's thrush. In fact, I went in, I got one of the doctors. We had a whole team of medical doctors at the center. And I said, would you clean out his mouth? And he took one of those tongue depressors, and he was cleaning it out, and he filled up a cup. Now, that's what was in his mouth. It was also in his lungs, and that's what was going to kill him. And I sit there, and I hold their hands. Every single sick person, I hold their hands because I want that energy. I won't go into it, but it's a gift that I give. And I'll discuss this at a different time, but I'm a great believer in energy exchange, that everything in life is an exchange of energy. When you get up in the morning, you choose a juice rather than coffee. That's an energy exchange. When you choose to be around happy people instead of angry people, energy exchange. When you choose to clean up a room instead of letting it be filthy, energy exchange. When you take a shower and after a hard day's work and clean up the grime on your body, that's an energy exchange. When you think about saying something positive about someone instead of something bitchy, negative, it's an energy exchange. Every single exchange of energy has an incredibly powerful complement within the other person. Now, is this all hocus pocus? Nope. Go up on my website, and I want to thank I'm guessing 1,000 people have sent photographs of me relating with them over the decades. And you'll see a group of photographs. You'll see me in the lab coat, and I'm in the lab and with a group of the scientists there. But more importantly, you'll see a group of people. You'll see Rabbi Abraham Wiseman with a mouse. You'll see Dr. Dolores Krieger, head of nursing at New York University, with a mouse. You'll see Dr. Arjun Karjer with a mouse. And the people who were able, 6 out of 6 times over a 2-year period, cure their terminally ill rats or mice using only energy. So powerful was this that it became the basis of Therapeutic Touch, which is now an accredited course in every nursing school in America. And I published that in the Journal of Psychotronic Research. And then all across the country, different scientists came when we saw we did this because they were Dr. Stanley Krippner, Dr. Douglas Dean, Dr. George. They would come because the Institute allowed me to quietly do this research upstairs. And downstairs, it was all orthodox chemotherapy. But we were doing incredible amount of psi research. I did that for 33 years. So energy is the basis of everything constructive and destructive. We'll get into that on a different program. I will get into that into my lecture this Saturday. By the way, I'm having my only health support group for the next year for the next 4 Saturdays, and there's room for 2 people. That's it. We're full, and I'm doing it myself, so I want to be able to work with everyone. Diabetes, arthritis, and obesity, or any complication of that, those are the people who are coming, and I'm going to see what we can do. And an awful lot of that, what we can do, is based upon getting people happy, healthy, vibrant, disciplined, motivated, loving themselves, and stop beating up on themselves or self-sabotaging. And then watch the results, because I'm going to have them on the program at the end. You'll see the results. In fact, this Friday, I'm going to have our next person. Every week, I'm going to have someone that's been completely reversed their disease, totally cured, of terminal illnesses or illnesses that medicine cannot help. We have our next one. We have like 10 lined up. Real people. And what's interesting, when you begin to hear the medical doctors who are the patient who reversed their disease. So now you got the latest on mushrooms and some other important factors. And one more here on health. And this is about newly discovered longevity benefits of the Mediterranean diet. And I'll quote this. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine. As if this is revolutionary and new. To this audience, it won't be either revolutionary or new. They're talking about the, quote, proving cardiovascular disease benefits of the Mediterranean diet. and it's a plant-based diet. They're suggesting 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil a day, and they're suggesting plus at least 1 ounce of nuts daily. I'm suggesting 3. And they show a 30% reduction in combined risk of acute heart attack and stroke and cardiovascular death over a 5-year period. Wow. 30%, and that's without exercising, and that's without supplements like coenzyme Q10 and vitamin E that could reduce that risk to 0. And here they're also saying, and polyphenols, polyphenols, there's your blueberries, there's your blackberries, there's your raspberries. Oh, there's a, so a lot of you have been on the right side, way ahead of everyone else, including New England Journal of Medicine. And it says blood pressure, polyphenols. Quote, the first study evaluated a subgroup of 200 people from the pre-med study, and it said that their blood pressure with the olive oil, taking the olive oil, was substantially reduced. And the polyphenols and nitric oxide. Remember I was telling you about beet juice? Drink 1 glass of beet juice and increase your nitric oxide, which thins the blood, increases circulation, and helps you prevent a heart attack. They just discovered this. Well, that's good. That's good. Remember, those of us who finish the marathon are willing to wait 28 years for the rest of them to come through, and we'll applaud them when they do. Yeah, God, they're so arrogant. They're oozing. They open their mouth and 3 tons of a mucus hubris falls out. Nice to know you guys are still part of the official world of science. How about trusting in nature, common sense, and some of our grandmother's wisdom? It also works without the white coat and the stethoscope. Vascular cell adhesion was reduced. Intercellular improvements affecting polyphenols on inflammation. And then it gives one here. Beans, legumes, vegetables, fruits, tree nuts, olive oil, red wine. And what do they tell you to stop? Here, sodas, good. Baked goods, sweets and pastries, good. Spreadable fats, okay. Red and processed meats. Well, you just do, vegetable oils, yeah. Fried snacks, okay. Visible fat in meats and soups, all right. Fatty fish, canned seafood, okay, good. So, for all of you who've been taking your reds, your greens, wow. You are so far ahead of where they're at, but they're catching up slowly, but they're official. And so I guess, well, I'll end this segment by saying, I guess reality only begins when someone in an official position or government or scientific group acknowledges it. I thought we actually had reality supersede scientific recognition, but dumb me. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. We're going to go now to a TED Talk about cancer being shattered naturally with no drugs, no chemotherapy. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'll play a part of it.
Usually I would be standing on this stage over here conducting the college orchestra because I'm a music professor. But tonight I'm going to talk about my moonlight activities in the field of science and how they led to a cancer research lab and an important breakthrough. Over the past 8 years, I've had the great pleasure of working with some brilliant and dedicated scientists. They were very open-minded, and we had a common dream that in the future, children would not have to suffer from cancer or from the terrible side effects of toxic drugs or radiation, because we believed there just had to be a better way. There had to be a better way, and we think we may have found it. A scientist said, "You're killing more cancer cells than as if you had used radiation." That same scientist went on, If you had spent millions of dollars developing a new drug that killed this many cancer cells, it would be a home run. This was an astonishing thing to hear, especially for a music professor who had just completed his first experiments in a cancer lab. But we didn't use any radiation. We didn't use any drugs. So what did we do? I have here two identical tuning forks, both tuned to the note A, the note an orchestra tunes to. These forks are both made to vibrate 440 times per second. We say their frequency is 440 hertz. If I tap this fork, putting little pulses of energy into it, the second fork will also vibrate in sympathy. And if I silence this fork, we just may hear the other singing its tone. We say that I'm inducing a sympathetic resonant vibration in the second fork. It only works because both forks are tuned to the exact same frequency. Now, many of us have seen this very charming young man on the internet who shatters crystal glasses with his powerful voice. But if you watch him carefully, you'll see that first he taps the glass with his finger and listens. The glass sings its natural resonant pitch. Then he takes a deep breath and sings a loud, long note. He induces a resonant vibration in the crystal glass. The vibration grows larger and larger and larger until the glass is shattered. On the other end of the scale, we have a giant bridge made out of concrete and steel, a suspension bridge, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Cars and trucks and buses are going over it every day. And unfortunately, where they built this bridge, there was a steady wind blowing across it. And one day, this wind induces a small vibration in the bridge, hardly noticeable. But the frequency of the vibration matches the resonant frequency of some part of the bridge, and the vibration gets larger and larger and larger until the bridge collapses into the river below. A destructive resonant frequency. So on one end of the scale, we have a giant concrete and steel bridge destroyed by resonance. And on the other, we have a small crystal glass shattered. So maybe we could shatter something even smaller, something really small, something you would need a microscope to see. Maybe we could shatter a living microorganism. But to do that, you'd need some sort of theory to serve as a basis. And we find that basis in a wonderful book called The Rainbow and the Worm, The Physics of Organisms, by a scientist, Mei Wan Ho. And that book makes a very strong case that living organisms and cells are liquid crystals, or in the least, they have many properties of liquid crystals. Now, we're all familiar with liquid crystals because they are in our laptop computer screens, LCD display, liquid crystal display. And we can change the qualities of the liquid crystals in our computer screen by sending special electronic signals to it. We can change the color and the shape on the screen with these signals. So maybe we could change a biological living liquid crystal with a special electronic signal. But in order to do that, we would need some kind of device. So we searched the US patent database, and we find this invention by a physician, Dr. James Baer of Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called a resonant frequency therapy device, and its purpose is to induce a resonant vibration in a living organism or cell. Several more videos, and we film the destruction of hundreds of microorganisms. And about this time, we meet a cancer researcher, and we show them these videos. And this results in an invitation to spend 4 months in a cancer research lab trying to shatter cancer cells. This is our setup in the lab. You can see the microscope with cancer cells on it. Here's the plasma.
The remainder of this you can watch in its entirety and at our website, progressiveradionetwork.com or parian.fm or garynall.com. And then he goes through this and shows you how he's able to kill pancreatic cancer cells. In fact, he was able to kill all forms of cancer cells and viruses, and without harming any healthy cells. And I don't have time today, that I have to go to my guest, but I just want to let you know that the person who did this originally, the genius, one of the greatest scientists in American history, Royal Raymond Rieff. He died in 1971, he was born in 1988, and he did this in a specially designed optical microscope. And there was a write-up about him, and he had an article published in the Journal of Franklin Institute where they showed that certain frequencies were able to shatter cancer cells and viruses. And he presented this information, sent it to Sloan Kettering, sent it to MD Anderson, all the major cancer hospitals in America and research centers. Not one would respond to him because he wasn't a medical doctor. So we had something that worked. How do I know? I'll tell you that story tomorrow about one of the most interesting visits I've ever had with his nurse in her home upstate New York, where I was invited. And this very senior lady laid out all the different slides of all the different patients before and after, showing, she said, we helped thousands of people, yet the government was threatened and the cancer establishment was threatened, and nobody, the American Cancer Society, didn't want to know about what we were doing, the National Cancer Institute. And we said, here, come and test our work. They wouldn't do it, but they attacked him. More on that tomorrow. I just want to show you that this is something that would never be allowed. Now, mind you, he's not a medical doctor either. He is a professor of music, and he's giving this lecture at his university. He did work with doctors and scientists and cancer experts, and they had phenomenal results, much more impressive than any drug or any therapy done to date. Yet why haven't you heard about it? You won't hear about it because no one's going to allow $300 billion a year to slip through their fingers. Oh, by the way, I forgot to give the number in my office. It's 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. Those of you who'd like to join me for this four-week journey to see if we can't, using a whole lot that I can't talk about now, including the vibrational energy within food. And what do you think a Qigong expert, what do you think the person that used to be on this program years ago, he's been traveling, he's not available now, but Sean Bhatnagar, how's he able to help people rebalance when all he does is sound? Well, all that he does is sound. He has done with sound and breathing and music what a lot of the scientists are now claiming is a way of rebalancing the harmonics within the body. Again, I don't want to deal with it superficially. I've spent my whole career in this field. I will talk about this in depth Saturday because it's the basis of healing all disease. Anyhow, you can call if we got space for two people for 4 weeks on a Saturday, next four Saturdays. Dr. Glenn Berry, how are you today?
Fine, thanks. Nice to meet you, Gary.
Good. We've been doing a great deal of coverage on environmental issues and the responsibilities that we should have as a government, as groups, as scientific communities like the National Institutes of Health, because the environment is so important to our health, but also the National Academy of Science, our top scientific body. What they should be doing, not as a suggestion, but as an absolute mandate, because the climate is warming. We are getting into tipping points. Some of these tipping points have tipped. Others are going to tip. And we are looking at numerous future risks and threat to human life and the environment. However, our industrial civilization continues to abide by the worst practices for the environment. And this is only accelerating. And this is accelerating ecological systems destruction. So I'd like for you to go through, please, and tell our audience what they may not know about the continuing non-sustainability and exploitation of our environment, and how things that they're doing, though they may not realize it individually, do count and what we must start to do to make a difference. The forum is yours.
Well, thank you so much. I think there's been an issue with not looking holistically at threats to the biosphere. I'll use the word biosphere a lot. By biosphere, I mean the thin layer of life just above and below the Earth's surface that that some people, as the planetary global system, might call it Gaia, or they might call it some sort of like being very similar to a living organism. So it's not that different than a plant or an animal or an ecosystem. It's just a different level of biology. So the whole Gaia hypothesis. So there are numerous threats to the biosphere, and climate change, by no means do I mean to downplay it. It is a horrific threat. We are, so the climate change is by itself, as it becomes runaway and abrupt, really has the potential to collapse civilization, perhaps even collapse the biosphere. But shrift is being given to other threats to the biosphere. There's a branch of science called planetary boundaries, which seeks to identify what are the different tipping points, the different thresholds that, if we exceed, will threaten the existence of the biosphere and maybe even lead to the death of Gaia. And it's what one of the things that I've written extensively about is these planetary boundaries. And there's generally nine of them accepted. These range from things to ocean acidification, nitrogen and phosphorus deposition, the conversion of land to farmland, climate change, biodiversity loss. A couple years back, I published a peer-reviewed scientific article that proposed a tenth planetary boundary on the amount of natural ecosystems that can be lost. So how many old-growth forests, how many natural prairies can be lost before the biosphere is at risk of collapse? And I'll share a little bit more about that, but the whole point is that even if we stopped climate change immediately, magically, which we're not going to because we're not cutting emissions fast enough, that there are tremendous other planetary boundaries that are at risk. This includes loss of topsoil. We've lost over 50% of our topsoil. Topsoil takes hundreds, if not thousands, of years to recreate. Just by itself, that has the potential to completely impact our civilization. There's water scarcity. The oceans are becoming acidic related to climate change, but also there's our large ocean dead zones where the phosphorus and the nitrogen are being deposited. So what you really have emerging is an understanding that it's more than just a techno-optimistic sort of solution of, like, let's come up with a better energy system and stop putting out carbon dioxide, that it's really going to take more fundamentally looking at our political and our economic systems and learning how to not cut down millions of year-old naturally evolved ecosystems or not dumping our waste into natural waterways, that there's a really more systematic approach necessary for ecological sustainability. So
Glenn, let me just get you to focus on one of those, if you would, please.
Sure.
You made a very important and I believe a prophetic review of, at a certain point, if we use too much land, then we're going to destroy everything. And I believe you said it was 50%, and I believe we're at already 75% gone. That means the prairies, the forest, and look at the consequences. Developers say, hey, I see a potential in clearing these 1,000 acres and putting something in their place, people to live there. And, oh, we want to get rid of all this farmland here and grow genetically engineered soy. So in our rush to exploit the environment, in our rush for profits and constant growth, we have never looked at the tipping element that you're talking about here, that at a certain point you're going to have a tipping, and the tip is not going to be reversible, and therefore it's going to affect the biosphere. So is that correct? And if so, give us some more indication of how quickly that could come. Give us your best guesstimate. If we don't stop exploiting the land, there's a tipping point and there's a clock turned on. And when that clock goes off and it rings, we're going to be in bad shape.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about this paper then. It proposed a planetary boundary, this type of science, ecological science, on the amount of terrestrial ecosystems that had to continue to exist in order to not collapse the biosphere. And it uses something called percolation theory. So if I were to take my shirt and I start cutting out holes in the shirt, for a while it's a shirt with holes in it. But at almost exactly 40% loss, it becomes a bunch of fabric lying on the ground that has fallen apart, and the holes are the shirt, and now the context is the empty space between them. So we know that that happens with landscapes, it happens with plant communities, that there's something, you said tipping point, that it percolates within 1% of losing 40% of something, the former context becomes the patch, and the patch becomes the context. And we are, there's various estimates, but the one that I think is best is that, so that means that 60% you have to maintain of natural ecosystems for the biosphere. We know that's at landscapes and at plant communities. And then so I proposed a 66% threshold that we need to maintain either semi-natural, which can be sort of like permaculture and organic. You know, it doesn't have to all be pristine, but about two-thirds of that ecosystem does have to be naturally evolved ecosystems. And what the best figure of how much natural land cover we've lost already is about 50%. So this is one of four planetary boundaries then that we have already exceeded the limits. Climate
okay.
change, biodiversity, and the amount of natural ecosystem loss.
You've made some very very important illustration that I think everyone got. Very short answer on this because we're running out of time. Once this tips, how long before we start seeing the impact of it? And what is the most likely first impact we're going to see?
I think we're seeing the impacts already. I think we're seeing the impacts with the rise of emergent diseases. I think we're seeing the impacts with failed states. I think we're seeing the impacts with the rise of authoritarianism, where regulations are blamed for bad economies rather than environmental scarcity. So on my blog, my deep ecology writings at ecointernet.org, I weekly write essays on deep ecology topics like this, and I've been exploring the relation between tipping points and collapsing ecosystems in some of the news events that have been troubling us lately.
I appreciate all the good work you're doing. Thank you very much for being there. And do you have an important... I have not read it. If you have, you have. The website is ecointernet.org and drglennberry.blogspot.com. Is there a book?
There's a scientific paper, and there will be a book. But even last week, I wrote an essay talking about exactly this point that climate change could end tomorrow, and there are a whole bunch of other planetary boundaries where the ecosystems are collapsing.
Good. On tomorrow's program, I'm going to show a short video of a couple of entrepreneurs who created a really unique way of planting over 1 billion trees. They can plant 100,000 trees per day using this almost like a nail gun. It's a drone that is loaded with tree seeds, and it goes over an area and it pop, 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 pop. And then they have a way of schematically laying it out exactly where the trees should go to maximize the benefit of those trees and creating new carbon sinks. And the tree seeds that grow the fastest, by the way, hemp grows the fastest and will be the greatest carbon sink we would ever create if we started planting billions of hemp in different countries. So I'm going to do that tomorrow. So there are solutions if we choose to focus on them.
And absolutely.
And thank you for bringing this to our attention.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Dr. Glenn Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I'm Gary Knoll. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.
It's a shame.